very grateful today to be in the house of God, amen?
Amen.
To be able to come together and worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him, how?
Spirit.
In spirit and
truth.
Attitude must be right, and you must hear the truth. Amen. So we're going to do that this morning. Turn your Bible to John chapter 12 as we continue our study of the book of John. We're grateful to have all the visitors with us. It's a Memorial Day weekend. A lot of our members are out traveling, and we got members in town from other places. Good to see my friends from Little Rock, Arkansas. Amen. Good to have them in the audience as well. And then those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you're my VIP. You're the very distinguished guest of the audience. You're a very important person to us. We want you to know we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right.
Amen.
If you're trying to get to heaven, you don't want to miss doing it the way God told you to do it. Believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, that'll wash your sins away, and that same blood purchased his bride, his wife, the church, and it's called the Church of Christ. There's no other church in the Bible, and you'll never hear me mention any other church other than the one written in the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But that's right. Amen. You can't go wrong with that one. You cannot go wrong. Anything else coming from Wikipedia can mislead you. Amen?
Amen.
Today, as we study John chapter 12, man, John has really been a great study for me. It's been a great study, hopefully, for you. We just came out of chapter 11, still a continuation of discussion of Lazarus being raised from the dead. But this morning, we're looking at the end of it, latter verses in this chapter. We're talking about the king coming. So let's start at verse 1. The king cometh. Verse 1.
Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany.
Now, this is 6 days before the Passover. Now, Jesus is going, this is the last week of his life. He's going to die. Amen. So, Jesus is known as the Lamb of God. And the Passover was a Jewish festival that they remembered at the time when God told them to put blood on the doorpost. And he would pass over that home. And now the Jews are commemorating this festival. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's coming in town on a donkey. And he's going to be the Lamb. As John seen him coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world." He will be the Lamb that was slain for the world. So he's riding into Jerusalem. And Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 that he's a Passover Lamb for us. And he would be sacrificial Lamb, innocent, led as a sheep to the slaughter before his shearer's dumb. He was open, not his mouth. Yes, Jesus is on his way to the slaughter. Last week of his life, he goes into Bethany, he says, the Bible says,
where Lazarus.
And he's going to the place where Lazarus
was, which had been dead.
The one that he had just raised from the dead, told death to loose him and let him go. The master had came into town. When the master came, last week we talked about the master had come, and the master comes as a relationship. But this time he's coming in Jerusalem because he's king. And king is by kingship. So the king is coming to town. And so he comes to town, and as he comes in, he goes to where Lazarus was. And the Bible says they made him a supper.
And Martha served.
And Martha, Lazarus' sister, served Jesus. And the Bible says that, but Lazarus
was one of them that sat at the table with him.
The one that had been risen from the dead was sitting at the table with Jesus. What amazing time that must have been for Lazarus to die and come back to life and then get to spend time with the one who raised him up from the dead. Jesus is invited to a supper, to a meal with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And it's in Simon's house, Simon the leper house. And then in that house they're there at the table, around the table, with Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's at the table. What a thought it is that Jesus could come into our house and sit down and have a meal. Well, how many of y'all like to have a meal with the king?
Amen.
The king came to town.
Amen.
Amen. That's better than Trump coming to town. Some of y'all wouldn't want to have a meal with Trump, would you? Some of y'all say, "Oh, Lord." Yeah, but King of Kings. Yeah, he's at the table. And I don't know if you know this or not, but all of us have that glorious opportunity to allow the king to come in. Jesus said, I stand at your door now. If you are open, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you with me. The heart he's talking about is the mind. The door is the mind of the heart. When we receive with meekness the engrafted word of God and we allow in obedience to the will of the word of God, Jesus said, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. How many of y'all got Jesus at your supper table? Amen. Yeah, you're going to need him when things are going tough. You're going to need him to be there, amen, somebody. Amen. When you're in the doctor's office and you don't know what to do, amen, you're going to need the king at the table supping with you. Amen. Thank y'all for praying for my wife. Amen. And still in the hospital. Still struggling. But I know she's supping. She's supping with the master. Amen. As I'm preaching for the King of Kings, she's supping with him because she has a relationship. It requires a relationship with God. So when you're going through things, when you're going through trials and tribulations, you want the master at the table. Amen. I want the master at my table. How about y'all want the master at your table? I've been doing this 30-some-odd years, and I'm still at the table with the master. I ain't going nowhere. Amen. It's a shame on folk who don't obey God, who won't obey the truth, don't want the master in the house. Hi, stand at your door and knock as if he's not coming. He's coming back one day. He's coming down. He's coming back one day. Not as a savior, but as your judge. You better open the door. But open the door, obey from the heart the form of doctrine that will save you. Be baptized for the remission of your sin. Commune every Sunday as he commanded you, because the king is coming. He's coming back one day in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. Every one of us must understand, we want him at our table now as our savior. We don't want him coming back as our judge. But he's coming. The king is coming. The king coming. Is that good?
Amen.
King coming. I feel good this morning. I feel like God is on my side. Yeah, he's on my side. What a Memorial Day that would be. You know, it's a Memorial Weekend. Hey, what a memorial would be for this weekend to be your day. Your day. I remember the day I walked down the aisle, down depressed, didn't know where to go, no one to turn to. Heard the old story. Our Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I believed it with all of my heart, repented of my sin, confessed him before others, about 1,200 people. Born again of the water and of the Spirit that very day. They didn't work 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They baptized me right then. They baptized me right then. I'll never forget. That's my Memorial Day. A day I'll never forget. A day I always remember when I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't somebody do that this morning? Make this your Memorial Day weekend. This is the day I remember when I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Sins were forgiven, added to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Can anybody ever say what I said to you again? Yeah, they can't say it. They can't say it and get away with it. Amen. Can't say it and get away with it. I don't take it back. I'm going to say it next week if you come. Yeah, I'm not going to stop saying the truth. I'm just not going to do it. Not going to do it. They're going to bury him beneath the sod. One thing they're going to know, Brother Brooks stood with the truth. He stood with Scripture. Believe, speak what the Bible speak, and be silent when the Bible is silent. I'm not going to speak what the Bible speak, then be silent. Don't speak at all. Just be quiet. Wait, go ahead and die and see what's going to happen. You ain't got no business speaking if you can't speak what the Scriptures say. You can't speak what the Bible said. I say that to some of my brethren in the church. No, we used to say it. Motto in the Church of Christ, speak what the Bible speaks. Some of them not speaking what the Bible speaks. So I say, don't say that no more. Just say, I'll speak, but I don't speak what the Bible speaks. Be honest, at least. Then took Mary.
A pound of ointment and spikenard.
A pound of spikenard. Yeah, this a pound, about 300 pence, about a year's wage for some of them people. I mean, that's a lot of money for them. And she took this very costly anointed.
The feet of Jesus.
And
wiped his feet with her hair.
And the house was
filled with the odor of the ointment.
That smell was so strong that it filled the whole house up. And then said one of the Jesus,
Judas Iscariot.
We know about him.
Simon's son.
Judas Iscariot. He's Simon's son.
Which should betray him.
Simon Iscariot's son. I had to be Simon Iscariot because it was Judas Iscariot. So I said that. But everybody said Simon's son. And he knew who he was. Jesus had picked him. He had picked one of the 12. He should betray him. That's what the Bible say. This is the same Judas that's going to give him the kiss of death right after he prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Left the garden. Judas was there with the mob, and they were going to betray him with a kiss. and they arrest him and go through six trials from that on. From that point on, he knew it. He knew Judas was going to do it. He knew Judas was going to betray him. Why did Judas, what was Judas worried about when it came to this ointment? The Bible says here, why not? Why was not the ointment sold, he
asked. For 300 pence and give it to the poor.
300 pence. He asked, why didn't we just sell this ointment and get the money? Why are you wasting it on this man? Well, washing his feet with hair. Amen. Putting this expensive ointment on him. We don't have to guess why he asked. The Bible says, the Holy Spirit revealed. This he said.
Not that he cared
for the poor.
It wasn't
that he cared for the poor. I'm glad the Bible came clear on this thing. Amen. The Bible, God Holy Spirit made it clear. He wasn't worried about the poor people.
But
what he wanted
he
was
thief.
The money, because he was a thief.
And had the bag.
A thief want what's best for him. Amen. A thief want what's for him. It was about him. And this is the man carrying the bag. Amen.
And
the man carrying the bag
in.
Was Judas. Judas had the bag.
And Bearwell was
and whatever was
in
the bag blown to him. That's why you have to watch some of these tricky trustees. The hand in the bag at the churches. Amen. Treasurers. Money go to the head. Keep the hand in the bag. You hear that all the time in churches. Folk taking from the church. Taking from the plate. Amen. Yeah, I was looking at on a thing or two. Man was mad. He was mad because he accidentally put $100 in the plate. So he wanted his money back. He was mad. He was mad. Pastor didn't want to give his money back. That's the denominational church. They call them pastors over here. I'm a minister. I'm not an elder. Pastor's the elder. I'm not an elder. And some of my brothers call themselves senior pastor. I heard that as a national lectureship, they challenged them on there. They should have challenged them guys on there. Challenge them on doctor, too. Ain't no scripture for doctor. Jesus said, you're all brethren. Amen. Speak what the Bible speaks. That's what we should do. You know, senior pastors in the church. That means you better than everybody else. King of kings is the king of the church, not a man.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, I ain't well known for this. Kind of going along with the flow. I'm going to go along with the flow. I ain't going to wear no robe. Amen. Ain't going to wear no robe. Ain't going to be no chief seats. Not for Brother Brooks to sit in. Amen. I ain't going to be no doctor, and I ain't going to be no pastor, because I don't have a desire to be a pastor, number one. But I am a preacher. And I understand my charge is to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season. When you like it, when you don't like it, I preach it. Why? My choice between me and God. Right. Me and stick with the Bible will save more people. Save more people preaching Bible than you will preaching yourself. Amen. Speak with the Bible. Speak. That's what we got to do. And that's what I'm saying here. We understand the Holy Spirit saying this man had a bad motive. He was a thief. That's what he was. Why we have to be careful about who get their hands on the money in the church. There are thieves in the church. This man was a thief. Was right there with Jesus. Out of 12 men, he picked a thief. I say this to me. Some women want to be women preachers. You know, Jesus picked 12 men to go with him. He didn't pick 12 women. And one of them was a thief. He picked a thief or he picked a woman. That's why the Bible says women will be silent in the church. Ain't nothing. That's not inferiority. Amen. Amen. My wife is a sub to me. She's sub to my protection. So is the wolf. He had to come through the men of the church, not through the sisters. We're here to protect you. Amen. Don't get your lips all poked out. Suck them back in. God gave us the muscles. He didn't give you. Well, some of these brothers run. You got to be careful. These days, you got to be careful. Some of these brothers act like they, yeah, sweet. They say they got a little sugar in the tank. Yeah, man, they didn't make us to walk like women, act like women, and talk like women. That's why when they fake, they just fake. You can't even fake walking like a woman. Man, walk like a man. Pull up your pants. Gird up your loins. Gird up your loins. Act like a man. Cause act like a girl. You can't be no girl. Amen. Can't have no baby. You can't walk like your pelvic ain't right, made right. That's why your hips don't drop right. Somebody said, well, yeah, you know, when they fake that walk. You can't make it happen, man, because your pelvic ain't designed like with. Hey, well, God made females females and males males. Well, I'm not even saying that to be funny anymore, because you women want to get up and preach. Boy, it's too squeaky. Didn't even make your voice to be a preacher. Our voices proclaim. Amen. And when daddy walk in the house, my children know daddy's talking. There's a difference from when mama talking. That's why some of you daddies need to make sure you stop handing off your responsibilities to these women. Amen. Be the man like you're supposed to be. Amen. Somebody, I always tell folk this, when somebody come to the Brooks household, they got to come through Brother Brooks. Amen. I'm not going to send Sharon to the door. Check it out and see what's going on. Yeah, amen, somebody. My kids, all my children know when daddy walked to the door, something happened. When I walk to the door, I'm going to pretend. But when I walk in, they ain't obeying mama. They know daddy coming home. Uh-oh. There's something different about the man. Amen. I spent a little time there because you need it. You needed it. That must be what you needed. I said it. But you know, the thing about, you know, and one of the things I get there because, you know, we got to be careful about all this stuff we're hearing today, man. You're putting these men in these elevated positions, flattering titles and stuff. Let's go back to what the Bible teaches. We go stay away from reverends and doctors and all this other stuff. Go back to be the Bible, be what God told them. Jesus understood what he was doing when he picked these men. And yeah, Judas had an option. He made that choice. He made that choice. But understand this. When we're picking friends, understand this. Yeah, be careful about who you pick as friends, especially to the young folk. Be careful who you gang up with, hang out with. Amen. And then there's some of you young adults. You know, the reason you can't live faithful is because your friends are not Christians. Your friends are not trying to live your life you live. You can't live with the devil during the week and be a Christian on Sunday morning. Amen. You're gonna have to pick your crowd, boy. You ought to pick some other young adult Christians trying to go like, we look like young adults, like drop flies, dropping off, being killed. They just drop out on us. Young adults, you think you're going to live to be 90. You're not, all of them ain't living that long. Yeah, that's why we appeal to our young adults here. I am. Young adult ministry. Yeah. You got to reach out to the other young adults. We're going to lose them. We got a big lectureship coming up for young adults. We want everybody here. Right, we're going to lose them. They're going to kill them out there in them streets. Them drugs don't kill them. They don't understand authority. You see some of this stuff on Facebook. Kids don't understand authority. You don't talk back to no police. You say, yes, sir, no, sir, and go sit down. I want to buck up to them. Who are you? You ain't that bad. That 38, he got a 45, whatever it is. I'll drop you on your spot, your head, until your feet to stop moving. Then you look silly. Dead. Didn't get locked up. You didn't want to be mad at the police because he locked up. You just should have respected him. But I go back to the home. If I teach my children to respect me, they have to learn to respect the police. Not only will they respect their teacher. Because if my children teacher called me, I'm coming to the school. Not for the teacher. I'm going to let him know. If you're having a problem with the teacher, then deal with daddy. And daddy can deal with the teacher. Now, who we pick in the church to be our friends can make a difference in our spirituality. That's another thing. You got to understand, if you got a thief with 12 disciples, there are some thieves in the church. We don't know who you're sitting by. Amen. You don't know who you're sitting by. And you get anybody, be careful. Some folks, if you see them gossiping and always messy, you don't want to hang out with those folks. Amen. Troublemakers, man. Will cause you to be one. Stay focused. But Jesus, when you got Jesus as your friend, I mean, you got the best friend you can have everywhere. You got the best friend you can have. Now, Jesus is going to come to Mary's defense. He knew Judas' motive wrong, and so Jesus said, let her alone.
Against the day of my burying, has
she
kept this?
He said, what she's doing is dealing with the day of my burial. She has kept this. They don't understand what he's saying now. He said, the poor always.
Ye have with
but you.
But me, ye have
you
not
will
always.
Not always have. Go to Mark. This is Mark's account. This is one of the few things that are in sync, if you will, the reader called Matthew, Mark, Luke, synoptics. John is not considered synoptic because they're not in sync with other three so much. But there are a few things, such as this occasion, where Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John speak about it. So I'm going to go to Mark's account just to get more detail on what Jesus was saying. The Bible says here in verse 3, let's start at verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he said to me, Mark 14, 3. Your wife told me to go easy on you, so I'm going to start doing that. Well, if she hadn't told me that yesterday at the fish fry, it was a good fish fry, by the way. I'd be talking about your socks this morning or something. Go ahead on. Verse 3.
And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper.
Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper.
As he sat at meat.
He sat this is the same story. He's at me. And
there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment,
spikenard,
very precious.
Uh-huh, read on.
And she broke the box and poured it on his head.
Yeah, read.
And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made?
Yes, sir.
For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.
Yeah.
And they murmured against her.
Okay, here you go.
And Jesus said, let her alone.
See, same account.
Why trouble ye her?
What y'all bothering for?
She had wrought a good work on me.
She did good work.
For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always.
And he just dealt with it as if Judas had a point. But he knew Judas wasn't saying that because he cared about the poor. We do too. But notice it says, verse number 8.
She had done what she could.
She done what she could.
She has come aforehand and anoint my body to the burying.
Now he said, notice, now he's saying she is anointing my body for the burial. Notice, verily I say unto you,
wheresoever the gospel shall be preached,
wherever this gospel
throughout
is preached,
the whole world,
uh-huh,
this also that she had done shall be spoken for a memorial of
now,
her.
Even today, because the scripture revealed this is a memorial, we remember what she did that day. That's what he's saying. That's all he's saying right there. And it's not that we should remember her. What he's saying is it's written in the scripture that she did this very act. And even today is still a memorial of what that lady did. Now, Jesus is only a few days from his execution by crucifixion. And so back then what they would do, they would wrap the bodies. They didn't embalm like we do. What they would do, they would wrap the body in linen. And they would put these ointment and spices in there to keep the body from stinking. And remember when Lazarus was in the grave. And they went to the grave, and his sister said, hey, he's been in the grave 4 days. He what? Stinketh. Now, what they know is that ointment didn't last as long as ours, you know. So we can embalm a man and leave him laying out for several months before he started decaying. They didn't have formaldehyde like we have. So they were using these ointment, and so Jesus saying to them, listen here, what she's doing is getting me ready for the burial. He's not going to stay in the grave long enough to stink because he's going to raise up early on Sunday morning with power in his hand. Is that right? He's not going to stink. He ain't going to be in there long enough to stink, but she's already doing what they were doing. So it's something here about Jesus getting ready to die. Jesus said, this woman's going to be remembered. In John 12, let's go back over there briefly. Just in verse number 9, much people of Jews therefore knew
that he was there.
That he was there. They knew. See, Jesus is becoming very popular now. Why is he so popular? Because they knew that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Notice he said, they came not for Jesus' sake only,
but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead.
They wanted to see this man, this guy was dead. I want to look at it. Wouldn't you want to see a dead man? That dude was dead. Y'all heard? He was dead, man. He was stinking by now. You see that? And so what they're saying is that, well, we want to see the man that got out. Now, this is how you should know. I don't understand how T.E. Fate and Jake Fate and Benny the Hen and all these folk would claim they got all these powers that folk can't use common sense. Don't we all know that if anybody in this world was raising dead folk, we would get national attention, and I would try to go get them. Man, get my mama up. Yeah. You know, folk would pay big money. Yeah. Hey, man, somebody. But, you know, you can fake tongue speaking. Bible is a bunch of junk, jabberish, gibberish, jargon, don't mean nothing. Nobody understand what you said, but you go get a dead man up, everybody will believe it. Yeah. And that's why you know this stuff is fake. You can fake tongues, but you can't fake raising a dead man. They're still in the graveyard dead. They ain't got up. Yeah. Ain't nobody got the power Jesus had. Jesus had the power to get them up. Yeah. He called Lazarus by name. Yeah. Why he called him by name? Because Jesus had the power to say, dead rise. All of them would have got up out of the graveyard. That's how the power he had. That's the kind of power we had. No man got that power. They don't understand why folk go along with this foolishness. It's so fake, they have to get somebody to catch them when they fall. The sad part is there are people who don't like this kind of preaching. Why? Because it's just absolute true, and you know you got to call it crazy. And if you believe it, you kind of, yeah. kind of, and you ain't all that if you believe that stuff, man. You can't be. I just don't see how folk can just go along with some of this stuff. And the men, they getting filthy rich. Rich, driving Rolls Royce and big old houses. Folks just rolling in there. Ain't none of them here. The one they got in the wheelchair, he coming in as if they paying them. Don't you know that? They done did it on some. They done did some national interviews all over TV, interviewing the folk that came in, paid to be sick and get up and walk. And people still don't believe it. I am. I'm gonna come on with it. That's it. That's the way it is, y'all. And somebody needs to be saying it. Somebody needs to be saying it. Somebody got to have the courage to say it. You have to have the courage to do what I do. You can't be weak kneed. You can't be no women pleaser, woman pleaser, man pleaser, animal pleaser. You can't please nobody. You got to speak what the Bible speak and just stay with it like it is. Amen. Amen. While we worry about some of these brethren, you know, you be at a brother's meeting, you're talking about things that is supposed to be among the brethren, and the brother say he got to think about it. He go home and come back and say, brother, I done thought about that thing. He he ain't thought about nothing. You know what he did? Huh, Gary? You know, he went home and talked to mama. Yeah, and she helped him think about it. Lord, I done thought about that thing, brother. You ain't thought about nothing. Your boss lady told you. I mean, you're the weak leader, what you are. Should have come back and said, my wife got a different opinion. Now, we might respect you when you say that. Yeah, well, that's just true. Man. Some men are hen pit. Ain't that right, brother? Ain't a thing in the world been wrong about being handpicked. Is it healed? Anything wrong with it? As long as it's the right what? As long as the right hand. Yeah, you don't want every hand pecking on you, but that's something. Now, let's go back to that. I put a little humor in there because I talked about folks. Sometimes you get upset and make them laugh, they feel better. That's part of the preaching technique. But I still meant what I said. You know, it's like, really, do people believe people raise the folk from the dead? Way over there in India somewhere. Okay, verse 10. Let's get back there. I got hung up right there for a minute.
But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death.
Now, they're going to kill. Now, understand it. This don't make no sense to me. I said, why in the world? Take Jesus out, because he's the one got the man up. Now, I get that, boy. Take the man with the power to get the dead man up. So, but the man, let the man enjoy living. Man, if you ever die and come back, you're going to appreciate life. You know how folks say, man, how dead? But that's not true either. But man, how dead? I seen white lights. I seen heaven. I seen God. I said that was Jack Daniel. And that was them white lights on that bed when they were trying to revive you. You wasn't dead. Now Christ says appointed on the man once. When somebody say, I died and I came back. The script don't say that happened nowhere. Be careful about saying you're dead and you came back. But what if you did, if you were dead? You know, that's what I was getting ready to put. My point was this. That, you know, folk with near-death experiences, they come back and say, man, I appreciate life now. Wow, I was almost out of here. I was almost out of here. My sister told me, I said here. And even you from Hempel, Texas, you say here. I don't know what they expect. I'm saying Hempel stuff. But you get my point. Yeah, when you board flight 927, that's Hebrew 927, appointed a man. I preach a sermon called flight 927. That means you boarding the flight. Ain't no return ticket. It's a one-way flight and two destinations. And they all of them ain't heaven. The chief priest wanted to put the man to death who just got raised up. But that by the reason of him, many Jews were believing because of the sign of the death. That's why the Bible said, many are signs truly did Jesus, present the disciple, not written in this book, but these are written that we might believe. So do we believe in miracles? Yes. Miracles were signs at that time because they did not have what we have. They did not have a New Testament. So whatever Jesus did was a sign to the people that who he was. And he gave his disciples the same ability to do what he was doing so the people would believe until the scripture was finished. Then when the scripture, when New Testament was finished written, being wrote, then they did no longer need miracles such as raising the dead or drinking pause and speaking in tongues. They didn't need that any longer because the signs we have are readable. We read signs. We don't see signs. So if I got to see a man get out of the graveyard to believe in Jesus, that's not faith. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith and not by got it. So if I got to see something to believe, that's no longer faith.
Amen.
And without faith, it's impossible, Hebrews 11, 6, to please God. So the only way we can please God is not by seeing miracles, but by believing the written word of God. Now, let's go back over here so I can land this plane. In verse 12, he said, on the next day, much people
that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him.
Now watch
and,
this whole
and cried,
scene play out.
Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Keep reading.
And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, said thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's coat. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that the things were written of him.
Yeah.
And that they had done these things unto him.
Right.
The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record.
Okay, read.
For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle.
Yeah.
The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him.
They say, we lose, man. We're not going to win this fight. Everybody knows. Since he got this guy from the grave, y'all, this dead man. Everybody want the whole world is gone after. Now, turn to Mark's account back over there because Mark get more detail and I'll close it with that one. Mark 11, starting verse 1. Let's read this account. I just want to point out a few details of this that you need to know because the king coming. And here's the significance of this whole king coming idea. It says in verse number 1, Mark 11. Everybody go there. That's where we're going to end at. He said, when they came nigh to Jerusalem
unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he's sending forth two of his disciples.
So he's not in Jerusalem yet. He's a couple of miles away from Jerusalem, but he's only 5 days away from his death, 8 days away from his death, burial, and resurrection. So on Sunday, he's going to go into Jerusalem on that Sunday. This is a Sabbath day, which is Saturday. It's a Sabbath. It's on that Saturday. He's going to go into Jerusalem on the donkey, on the ass. That's the only time you can get away with saying ass. Brother Reader, when you're reading from the Bible. Now, here it is. He's going in Jerusalem. Now, there's going to be a Monday. He's going to curse the fig tree. Tuesday, he's going to speak in parable. He's going to teach the Wednesdays. He's going to be anointed at Bethany. And Thursday, it's going to be the Passover preparation. It's going to be his last supper that Thursday. And then they're going to take him to get, he's going to go to Gethsemane. Then he's going to go to 6 trials. And then Friday, they're going to try him for a pile. They're going to crucify him that day. He's going to be buried Friday, Saturday, and get up early Sunday morning, that first day of the week. That's the timeline he's on. And he's starting his journey to death on a coat. And they said to him,
go your way into the village over against
you.
And as soon as ye be entered into it,
he's telling them what to do. Find this coat.
You shall find a coat tied.
You'll find a coat.
Whereon never man said.
Ain't nobody ever, and that has something to do with royalty. I mean, when they were used, regarded them animals that had never been saddled up or anything as for holy purposes, what they were using them for. And so this is a holy king of kings.
Loose him and bring him.
Jesus said, if any man say unto you, why you do this?
Say ye that the Lord had need of him.
And straightway.
He will send him.
He said, now, anytime the Lord say do something, just go ahead and do it. That's what he's saying. If he said, Lord say, if any man asks you why, just say the Lord said do it. I have need. Now, when the Lord have need of us to do the kingdom work, just do it. Just do it. Amen. Verse 4, they went their way.
And found the coat tied by the door without.
What he said do.
And a place where two ways met.
Uh-huh, right.
And they loosed him.
They loosed him.
And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye?
loosing the colt.
Uh-huh.
And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded.
Right.
And they let them go.
We always ask Christians, we should be ready to give an answer. No matter what they say, because the Lord said so. Why baptize folks? Because the Lord said. Why take the Lord communion every Sunday? Because Jesus said, just do it, remember me. That's why you do it. Amen. Why you baptize them in water? Because the Lord said. Why you say it's one church? Because the Lord said. You don't got to give people different answers other than what the Lord said. They got to choose if they're going to believe what the Lord said or not. You can believe what Reverend Joe said. You can believe what the Lord said. Amen. And the folk understood that Jesus had sent them. Now, they just did what the Lord said. That's how we answer folks. You don't have to give a Bible. You have to give people a whole scripture for everything. Something you just say because the Lord said it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what the Lord said. You don't have to pray no sinner's prayer to be saved. The Lord didn't say that. Reverend Joe said, Lord ain't said nothing about Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. That's what Joel Osteen tell folks. Lord ain't never said that. He down there got millions of people coming in there. Amen. Telling them same thing. Now go find your church. Lord said never said go find a church. That's like saying go find a Jesus. Go find you a God. There ain't but one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one church.
Amen.
The Church of Christ. That's it. That's it. That's it, Church of Christ. Hold to the Bible. Hold to it. Don't let nobody take it from you. Just because the Lord said it, that's what we're going to do. Hold right there with it. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. What he said. That's what these disciples do. Here's how you answer. The Lord commanded. They said to them, even as Jesus had commanded, they let them go. And they brought the coat to Jesus,
cast garments on him, and sat upon him.
And then they spread their garments in the way,
and cut down branches of trees, straw them in the way.
Now, here's a fulfillment of the prophecy found in Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Listen to this. And one thing about the prophecies were fulfilled in minute detail. Notice what he says in Zechariah 9:9.
Rejoice greatly,
O daughter Zion.
Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Behold,
the king coming unto thee.
There he is. This is Zechariah saying, your king, and here's how the king coming. He is just.
And he got salvation. Lowly.
He's coming to save the world. He's coming in the Lord's position. He ain't riding in no limousine. He riding on the back of a colt. Amen. He coming in on a colt. They said, how the king gonna ride? Coming in on a colt. Lowly, riding up on the ass.
And upon a colt, the foal of an ass.
That's the baby colt. That's the baby of the ass. Now here he is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, headed to Jerusalem, going to the city where he'll die at. He knew they was going to kill him now. He was going in as a just man, a holy man, one who would come on a coat, riding in to save the world. Men who spread their garments and everything. That was an ancient custom, a practice of welcome new kings. They took off their cloaks, paved the way for Jesus to enter Jerusalem. What an exciting scene this must have been. Folk were all in front. He come into Jerusalem. Riding on a coat, and they laying down the palms. And this is where they get Palm Sunday at. Ain't no command to keep no Palm Sunday. He just telling you what they did for Jesus. Folk out there, we got to remember, this is Palm Sunday and Ash Sunday. Ain't no Bible for no Ash Sunday. This is what they laid down because he was the king. That's why they did that. Amen. The king said, obey him. He didn't say lay down no palms. Folk buy into anything, won't they? Then he said, they went there before him. They had followed crying, Hosanna.
Blessed is he that coming in the name of the Lord.
He coming in the name. This is King of Kings on a donkey. Hosanna. Hosanna, they call it. Hosanna in the highest. That's what we are. Hosanna. This is a Hebrew saying, save now. On this occasion was the Savior of the world coming in. He was Hosanna in the highest on a donkey coming into the room to save the world. That was him. Y'all, our king came. He come. He was coming in on the donkey. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. And then he was coming. He was coming to save them. He came to save us. And Mark said, blessed
be the kingdom of our father, David, that coming in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Oh, man. Who is it? King of glory. Who is that King of glory? The Lord Almighty. Strong and mighty, Psalm 24. Who is the King of glory? He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, had come into Jerusalem on a donkey. The king was coming. His master came to the house, but the king came into Jerusalem. Who was the king? He would be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the same one with the vesture that would be dipped in blood, and on his thigh would be written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was the one who rode in on the white horse. He is him. That is the king I'm talking about this morning. The king that came to Jerusalem on a donkey. They took him to Gethsemane. He prayed three times. They whipped him with a whip. They beat him. The king. They slapped the king. They spit upon the king. They hit the king with a punch. They punched him with a fist. They took the king. Took the king and led him up a hill called Calvary. Some tongue they call it Golgotha, or the place of the skull. It was on a hill far away where stand an old rugged cross where the king would hang. The same king that came in on a donkey would go out on a cross, ride in on a donkey, go out on a cross with nails in his hands and in his feet. And I stand today on the king's staff. I'm still preaching the king. I'm going to preach the king. Till the day I die. I'm going to preach King of Kings. I'm going to preach his kingdom. Amen. His kingdom is the church. And the church is the church of Christ. And you preach a king who is Christ. You got to preach his kingdom, which is his church. Amen. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to keep preaching it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. After all he went through, all the suffering, 6 hours on the cross, hanging before the folk who mocked him. Hanging still before the folk who slapped him, before the folk who beat him. Pilate was still alive. Pilate knew he was innocent. Yet he had to hang 6 hours. Judas done betrayed him. What a disappointment. No disciple was at the cross. Just one. And he told him, you take care of mama. The rest of them didn't go. But the women were there. The women will be with us, brothers. When the men ain't there, the sisters will be with us. The backbone of the church is our sisters. His mama was there. Amen, somebody. We don't put our sisters down. They went to the master. They went with him all the way to the cross. And his mama had to see him hanging. Marred, Isaiah 52. He was so beaten, he was disfigured. His visage, the visible appearance of him, was that of one who had been marred, who was noticeable. But his mama knew him. Amen. One thing about a mama, she know a child's voice. She don't have to see him. That's my baby. Amen, somebody. That's my baby. Can y'all see the king? Can y'all see him? Coming in on a donkey. Why would they kill him? Why would he have to die? Why? He would die for us. All of us. That we're unworthy. We're unworthy. We're filthy sinners. He did no wrong, but he would be the lamb. And at the time of the Passover, when all the lambs were screaming, at 6 o'clock they had to kill all the Passover lambs. All the family had that one. And they say in Jerusalem, the lamb would scream. And they have to separate the lamb that was going to be killed from the other sheep. And Jesus was separated. Because he knew no sin. He was separate. He wasn't like us. He was separated because he had to be a lamb without blemish. And he would be the lamb. And when the lamb was crying, Jesus gave up the ghost. Earthquakes, everything started happening in Jerusalem. Darkness all over the land because the lamb was on the cross. It'd be the last Passover lamb ever needed. He was our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Paul said he's our Christ, Passover lamb. What are you doing this morning, Brother Bruce? Preaching the king. Hey, y'all, the king done come. You know, I'm glad the king come. How many of y'all glad the king done come? Amen. I'm so happy he came. I heard the gospel. I heard how he suffered for me. I heard how he was buried. I heard how he resurrected with power and gave the command to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and he was baptized shall be saved. I heard that. Have you heard that old story? How many of y'all believe it with all of your heart? Say amen. Amen. Yeah, I mean, you believe with all of your heart that he died on the cross for you. You can say amen to that part. You don't say you believe in Jesus and don't believe in him. If you believe in him, believe you hung. Believe they buried him, but believe he got up with power as your king. Amen. With power and commands that we ought to obey before we die. Every man need to obey the gospel before he die. Every man, woman, boy, girl ought to obey the gospel. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb, that blood that came out of his side. Washed away man's sin. Purchased the church. The Lord added us to the body of Christ. And we walk in the light. He's in the light. That blood cleanses us over and over. And you keep on drinking it over and over. You know, and you hear that gospel, you believe it. Here's the invitation. Visitors, not members of the Church of Christ. You're a member of a church, but you've been baptized before. That don't make you saved. There's only one right baptism, right? There's only one right Jesus. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism to save. That's the one that's guided by the Spirit. For by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one church. So if you're not in one church, you didn't get the one baptism, because the Spirit didn't have nothing to do with that baptism. You got to believe it. You got to repent. You got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and you got to be baptized immediately. We got clothes ready. We got everything you need to be saved today. Make this your Memorial Day weekend, the day you remember you obeyed the gospel, that you came away from the world, you gave your life to Christ, you were buried in water by a grave of baptism with him, and the Lord washed your sins away, gave you a new beginning, a new name, a new everything new, born again, a new creature. Man, what a good thing to have stuff brand new. I like good new stuff. When I go to the car wash and they say, what kind of smell? Y'all say, man, put some of that new car smell in my old Silverado. Make it smell. Yeah, I like new smell. Amen. I like to be a new man with a new walk and a new talk and a new family, new people who trying to do it my way. I want to hear them say, well done. But that good and faithful. Good and faithful, sir. I mean, y'all like to be new. I'll be new. I don't want to remember some of the stuff I done in my life. Lord, I wish he'd just wash away sins and wash away memories. Don't you? Some of you don't even want to remember. Oh, I did that all, Lord. But he washed away your sins. And God said, I'll remember it no more. I ain't going to come up on judgment. Won't you come today? Won't you come and be baptized today and wash away your sins? Then remember the church. No matter what you're going through, Jesus, just like he was on Mary's side, he's on your side. You come asking God to forgive you. You come asking for repentance. You are asking for forgiveness, rather, and repenting and asking for forgiveness. You come and ask God to help you through your trial. Through your trial. Tonight, I'm going to talk about what Job said for those who are going through things. And I thought about this when I was with my wife in the hospital while she's going through so much. Sarcoidosis, blood pressure, sugar diabetes, heart failure, all kind of stuff. Why? You have to ask. And I went to Job, and he said, this thing has God given to me. Something God put in our life. And maybe he put something in your life today. And you're saying, why me? When you come back tonight, I'll talk more about that. But you can come now and sup with him. Open the door and let him in. You know, I want to be a Christian. I mean, I want to be a Christian. Lord, I want to be a Christian. I don't even want to be a Christian. You got to be a Christian, go to heaven. And I want you to come. If you need prayer, we want you to come. If you want to be baptized, come. We want you to come. As together we stand and sing. Lord, I want to be a Christian.